Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And happy Good Friday to you, America. I'm Todd Starnes. Good to have you with us today. And we are live. You know, a lot of folks taking Good Friday off, but we wanted to hang out with you, the great listeners of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we got a lot going on today. So let's get to this. By the way, we're going to throw in a little bit of trivia, so a chance for you to win a signed copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. Also want to welcome our great new listeners. All this week we'll be celebrating, we've been celebrating our new affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, KQAM. And if you are a KQAM listener and you call into the program today, we're going to hook you up with a Welcome to the Neighborhood prize package. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Next week, we've got another station coming on board, and we'll be telling you folks in Garden City, Kansas about that a little bit later on. All right. Where do we start with today's program? There's a lot going on. Little Red Lion Hood is out there, and she's making all sorts of headlines. Jen Psaki, circle back herself. She is reportedly leaving the White House, and she's going to be taking a job at MSDNC. Now, what I find very interesting about all of this is they believe that Jen Psaki is going to be the next Rachel Maddow. And that Jen Psaki is going to save MSDNC and will actually take over Fox News Channel in the ratings. And I don't know who believes this. I don't know what they're smoking over at MSDNC. But would you actually subject yourself to that sort of voice for an entire hour in primetime? I don't know. Maybe you would. There are only two press secretaries that have actually successfully navigated the move from the White House to television. That was the late, great Tony Snow during the Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration. And the other is Dana Perino, who was also a veteran of the Bush administration. So otherwise, they've been complete and abject failures. There is a, and we're going to get to the circle back. We've got some audio to play a little bit later on in the pro. Oh, we've got it now. All right. So let me set the stage for you. And we've got to go back in time for just a second and set this up. So we have President Biden, who a couple of weeks ago, in a hot mic episode called Peter Doocy of Fox News Channel and SOB. And apparently they worked it all out afterwards. The president called Doocy on the phone, says, hey, didn't mean to call you an SOB. But what really Biden meant to say was, I didn't mean to get caught on a hot mic calling you an SOB because I still think you're an SOB. You sorry SOB. You lying dog-faced pony soldier boy. So Psaki is doing she's doing one of these podcasts. What is it? Pod Across America. It's one of these weird named podcasts, and she is going off on Peter Doocy of Fox News Channel, and of course Peter Doocy is the White House correspondent, he's been asking some pretty tough questions. Now, I have a little bit of a history with Peter Doocy. I was the very first reporter that he worked with at Fox News back in the day when he was just brand new. And, of course, his father works at Fox News. And let me say this. I think Ducey's doing a decent job. But again, at Fox News and at a lot of these national networks, it's not necessarily to get your foot in the door. It's not what you can do. It's who you know or who you are related to. A great example of this over at MSDNC back in the day, the late, great Tim Russert, his son was hired simply because his dad was very powerful there. So anyway, I don't want to take anything away from Ducey, Peter Ducey. I think he's doing a fine job. But the reality is his dad works there. As a matter of fact, I think a couple of the other Ducey kids work at Fox. Actually, I know that. But anyway, all that to say that Peter Ducey has been really getting under the skin of the White House because he's been asking some terrific questions. So here's Jen Psaki in this live podcast recording talking about Peter Ducey.
We have to talk about Peter Ducey for one second.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Is he a stupid son of a or does he play a stupid son of a on TV?
Okay. Well, he works for a network.
Okay.
That provides people with questions that nothing personal to any individual, including Peter Ducey, but might make anyone sound like a stupid son of a.
There you go. Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, calling the White House reporter for Fox News Channel a stupid SOB. Now, we would not have known about this had it not been for Politico, their White House reporter. I want to give that guy props, Eugene Daniels. He attended the taping, and he's the one who alerted people to this. So, again, the audio was a little weird. So I want to, and again, it's, I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's the best recording we had of it. And I want to read this to you again. Jen Psaki is asked if Peter Ducey is a stupid SOB or does he just play one on TV? Her response, he works for a network that provides people with questions that nothing personal to any individual, including Peter Ducey, but might make anyone sound like a stupid SOB. This is so insulting. And what a wicked woman she is. A vile, wicked woman. So a couple of takeaways here. First of all, she's alleging that Peter Ducey does not have a functioning brain and that somebody at Fox News headquarters actually presents him with the questions that he is then ordered to ask at the White House press briefing. That's what she's alleging here. And that is simply not true. John Roberts, another Fox News anchor, came to Ducey's defense and said, "We don't do that here." And I want to say this because I worked in the building 15 years as a Fox News reporter, as a fill-in White House correspondent for the radio network, and as a radio host, and as the host of a TV show for the Fox Nation OTT platform. And I can tell you, during my 15 years working at Fox News Channel, not once was I ever ordered to ask a question of someone. Not once. Never happened. So for her to say something like that, it's a flat-out lie. And what she's trying to do is once again marginalize Fox News. And why is that? They hate Fox News. They actually hate Newsmax more because Newsmax is sort of like Fox was in the early days where you really could have these open conversations about controversial issues. And they want to shut these people down. Why do you think they want to shut, just as a brief aside here, and why do you think they want to shut down Twitter? Why is it that people are so upset at Elon Musk? I mean, just think about this for a minute. Why should we care what Elon Musk wants to do with his $1 billion or $4 billion or however much he wants to spend to buy Twitter? Why should we care? Why is the left so angry that Elon Musk wants to take his own money that he worked hard for and use it to buy Twitter? They tell us, oh, this is just a social media platform. Big whoop. As a matter of fact, the leftist, and if you go on Twitter, you'll see these arguments, the leftist will always tell the conservatives, well, if you don't like what's on Twitter, just go do something else. Start your own platform. Just leave. Well, Elon Musk says, no, I don't want to leave. I just want to buy the place. And now the left is enraged. Why is that? Well, it's the same reason they're enraged about Fox News Channel and Newsmax and this radio program and Mark Levin. They're enraged and they want to shut us down. They want to destroy us. And you better believe they look, the leftists, they were celebrating when Fox chose not to renew my contract. And you know why? Because I wouldn't bow down to those people. I'm not gonna shut up. I never said anything that was offensive. We talk about the truth on this program. And clearly the left can't handle the truth, and neither can certain corporate lawyers. Can't handle the truth. And they were so excited because they thought, we did it. We shut down Starnes. He's over. He's history. Well, got news for you. 2 years later, and we're on more radio stations now than we were when we were at Fox News. But why is it that they're so terrified and so angry and hostile at people like me and Fox and Levin and Elon Musk and Peter Doocy? Why is that? Well, it's very simple. Because Twitter's not a social media platform. This is the engine that is driving this radical fascist agenda to shut down dissenting opinion in America. Folks, it is an evil thing that is happening. They literally want to shut down anything that they find disagreeable. Our good friends over at Libs of TikTok, great example. Earlier this week, they were shut down on Twitter. They were suspended. Why? All they did was share videos. That's it. They offered no opinion, no editorial comments. They just shared evidence that public schools are now grooming children in the classroom. And I'll get to that story in just a moment. So now the left, they see that the engine driving this fascist change in America is now in jeopardy. You can say what you want to about Twitter. And I know a lot of you do. A lot of you are no longer on Twitter, and I get a lot of blowback from some of you. Todd, why are you still on Twitter? You should be on other platforms like Getter and Gab and Parler. Well, you know what? I am on those platforms, but I'm also on Twitter, and I will stay on Twitter until they boot me off again. And the reason why is very simple, because most of the world is on Twitter. And I don't mind having tough conversations. I don't mind engaging the culture. You're not going to be able to win the culture war just by fighting on Parler or Gab or Getter. You've got to get in the trenches and you've got to duke it out with these leftists. Yes, I know they're morons, but we still got to get our point out there, our point of view. But now they realize, uh-oh, what if Elon Musk actually buys this? He may actually open the Twitter sphere open to free and spirited debate. We can't have that. Not on Twitter. We can't have free speech. And that's why they're all concerned. This is the great concern. And that's why they want to shut down Fox News, because they know that their arguments are pathetic and nobody wants to watch it. That's why people are turning off CNN, the most profane name in news.
Crying Negro Network.
That's why nobody's watching MSDNC. Even Rachel Maddow can't handle it. So this is where I think Jen Psaki ought to be fired. Honest to goodness, this is after what she said. She has disqualified herself from being the spokesperson for the White House. Now she is an attack dog, and she's going after Peter Doocy. And I know she's probably going to pick up the phone and apologize and say, oh, I didn't mean it. She meant every word of it, every single word. So I say, fire Jen Psaki. And if the White House press corps had any balls, they would say, you know what? We're not walking in that room. We're not going to another briefing until Jen Psaki is fired, because she is not a fair arbiter. Your thoughts on this, 844-747-8868. And we're also talking about Twitter. This is a big deal. Do you think Elon Musk ought to buy Twitter? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Sort of make money, you know. I think this is, it's just that I think this is, this could, my strong intuitive sense is that having a public platform that is maximally trusted and broadly inclusive is extremely important to the future of civilization.
But you've described yourself.
I don't care about the economics at all.
There you go. Elon Musk, in his own words, talking about why he wants to buy Twitter. And I respect him. Elon Musk, I don't agree with him politically on a lot of stuff, but he understands the importance of free speech. He understands the importance of what it means to be able to share your opinions without being publicly shamed or ridiculed or being fired or being, you know, again, part of this cancel culture mob. He gets that. I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Bill, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station in Cordova, Tennessee. Hey, Bill, so I understand you were on Twitter. Is that right?
I was. I was on Twitter originally for about 10 or 12 years, and I took myself off when Trump got kicked off, part of the, I think, 450,000 or so people that dropped, maybe more than that. And about a month ago or so, I got back on, and I made one tweet, and I said that what Vladimir Putin was doing in, and I'm very careful, I don't want to say Russia, because it's not the whole country, it's Vladimir. What he was doing in the Ukraine isn't a war, it's genocide. And the next time I went to log into Twitter, I had a message at the login screen that said my account was permanently locked.
So you got booted from Twitter, Bill.
I did.
Well,
I can't get put in Facebook jail if I try, but I got booted from Twitter for one tweet.
Well, if you hang out with me long enough, Bill, you'll end up in Facebook jail. I can promise you that. Yeah, you know, Bill, yeah. It's interesting. Max Boot, who is a pretty prominent journalist, he's a columnist, and he's got a huge following on Twitter. He says that he is frightened by the impact on society and politics if Elon Musk acquires Twitter. He says that Elon Musk seems to believe that on social media, anything goes. For democracy to survive, we need more content moderation, not less. That's what Max Boot has to say.
I think that's just the opposite, personally. I think we need freedom of speech and, you know, within, as Elon said himself, within the bounds of the law, you know, people need to be able to speak their mind on social media. You know, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater or something like that, but you know, people need to be able to say what they're thinking, like what Vladimir is doing in the Ukraine is genocide.
All right, Bill. All right, Bill, got to run. You know how it goes. That music means we've got to scoot out. But do you agree with Max Boot that we need more content moderation on Facebook and Twitter? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show on Good Friday.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identityguard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. All right, we've got a lot going on, a lot of political news, and we're going to get to all of that. It's also Good Friday, and we're going to be talking to our good friend, Pastor Robert Jeffers, who's also the official chaplain of the Todd Starnes radio program. Pastor Jeffers will be here a little bit later on, and there's been a big controversy at a VA medical center over a Bible that was being sold or was part of a display in a VA medical center gift shop. And we're going to be talking to our friends over at American Center for Law and Justice. But really, probably the biggest national story coming out of Memphis, Grace Baker, aside from the Memphis Grizzlies getting ready for the big playoff games, is this wallaby from the Memphis Zoo that was on the lam. And I mean, it escaped. There was we had some severe weather. And the wallaby, which is from Australia, was able to escape.
Yes, and everybody was looking everywhere for this little creature.
You see, my money was on Outback. I kind of figured that
the blooming onion smell.
Wallaby, yeah, that's right. Just get a blooming onion, and there's the wallaby.
Hey, little wallaby. Hey, little wallaby.
Good night, mate. Good night.
Want a piece of a blooming onion?
I can't do an accent, so I'm not even going to try.
I mean, everybody's been searching.
Yes.
What in God's
name wallaby is that noise? The wallaby then got its own Twitter account.
Wait, what?
Yeah, at Memphis Wallaby.
That's the name of the... So the wallaby doesn't have a name?
No, I don't think so. I think people have called him... Oh, I think that the zoo called him the Wandering Wallaby.
Nah, you
got to
have
a better
name.
But that's not really the same.
Like, you know, Bubba, Leroy.
Nah.
Something like that.
I think we could name him if we
Carl.
Carl.
We should have. So,
Carl.
But the good news, the breaking news, what is that noise?
Carl.
Oh, is that
it's
like an aboriginal?
Diggery-doo.
Oh, is that an aboriginal thing?
A diggery-doo?
A diggery-doo?
Isn't that what it's called?
Are we allowed to play that? Because we're not diggery-doos, we're white.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're Caucasian of persuasion. I don't want to be accused of culturally appropriating the Australians.
Well, we're just trying to attract the wallaby.
All right, so the good news is we've got breaking news. The wallaby has been found.
Oh, wow. Guess we don't need the music anymore.
No, that's your cue to stop the music. It's kind of annoying, actually.
Where'd they find him?
They found him at the zoo. I guess
oh,
he was... Yeah,
he didn't get very far.
No. Well, look, the wallaby listens to KWAM, which is our flagship station, and the wallaby knows the safest place to be is at the zoo.
That's true. I don't hear of any crime happening at the zoo because, you know, if you try to hurt anybody, well, they got lions, so...
I know. I saw our morning show host. He showed up looking like Crocodile Dundee, had the hat and the, you know...
He was ready to go searching
khakis.
After the show.
Ready.
He dressed up for nothing.
Crikey. That's what they say.
I used to love the Crocodile Hunter.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
He was a good guy.
Crocodile.
Love his whole family.
Crocodile Wallaby.
Okay.
That would have worked. Hey, let's go to the phones. So that's pretty much the excitement here in Memphis. Let's go to Wichita, Kansas, KQAM. Brenna, welcome to the program, and we are just so excited to be in Wichita, Kansas. Well, Brenna, first of all, thank you for listening to the show, and we love all the great things that are happening in your state, and we're excited to have you guys as a part of the conversation.
All right, awesome, great.
Well, Brenna, here's what we're going to do. All of the new callers from KQAM, you're going to get a signed copy of my new book, It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl, and I think you're going to enjoy this. We're going to put you on hold, Brenna, and Grace Baker is going to pick up the phone, and she will get all of your particulars, and we're just honored to have all of the good people of Wichita joining our great audience. All right, let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Jerry the Liberal on the line wants to weigh in on Twitter. All right, Jerry, what do you think about Elon Musk here?
Well, I mean, Elon Musk can do what he wants, I mean, if he wants to buy that. I am a liberal. I mean, we clearly disagree on many things, especially church, state, separation, gay rights. I do want to agree with you to a point. There are people on the far left who scare me, who I think there are anti-free speech, who are against classical liberal values. I'm like the liberal, like more like Bill Maher, you know, a secular, non-religious person who stands up for free speech ideas. So while Twitter can do whatever it wants and enforce whatever policy it wants, I do support overall the concept of free speech and disagreement, and people should debate ideas. So if you know, Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that or wholeheartedly want that to happen, but, you know, it's his money. If he wants to do that, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, Jerry, and I'm with you on Bill Maher, and I do see those. I think I see the similarities there. I will say this. We played a couple of weeks ago. We played some old audio, and it was from like 2 or 3 years ago when Dennis Prager was really mocked on Bill Maher's show because he brought up the whole idea of, hey, look, you know, people are going to say that men can get pregnant, and they really mocked him for that. And now here we are 3 years later, and people like Bill Maher would be castigated by the left if he had laughed like he did 3 years ago. So to your point, though, on the some of the gender issues, Jerry, I mean, the left is getting way out there on some of this stuff. And even people like Bill Maher are starting to say, hey, wait a second, we need to have a conversation here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there's people on the far left. There's people on the far right. And in terms of cancel culture, Bill Maher was targeted like 20 years ago to be canceled on his TV show and the Dixie Chicks War, too. So it's not just the far left. I mean, the far right has its own problems.
No, I don't disagree with that, Jerry. Look, I'm back in the day. I remember we actually did a stunt on my radio show where we took a big Ford F-150 and we rolled over the Dixie Chicks CDs. But we tried to do that in good fun. I wasn't trying to cancel them. I just, you know, from a person, my whole thing on the cancel culture is, when you're trying to, for example, like Disney, I do support a boycott against Disney because they are openly admitting what they're trying to do. And I got a problem with that.
No, I support Disney.
No, I have no doubt that you do, Jerry. By the way, you know, Jerry, it's the Republicans are down to Milwaukee and Nashville to hold the RNC, the big convention. Jerry, my question, can you handle that many Republicans coming to town?
That would be the most Republicans in Milwaukee in a very long time.
Well, you know what, Jerry, if we do come, you're going to be sitting in on it. You will be my co-host for an hour of the show if we do that.
All right.
That'll be fun. Todd and the Liberal, or Jerry and the Conservative. All right. Jerry, good hearing from you, and it is a serious topic. And folks, listen to what Jerry said. There are liberals on the far left who terrify him. This is getting out of control, and we've got to stand up together. And this is an issue where, you know, people like Jerry is, like you said, he's a classic liberal. This is a guy who loves America. I guarantee you, Jerry's been calling on this program for almost 5 years now, back when we were broadcasting at Fox News headquarters. And, you know, we don't disagree on just about anything, except we love America, and we love the idea that you can agree to disagree without getting thrown in jail or without being canceled or without losing your job. But then there are people like the Max Boots of the world who say that letting people have their say is bad for democracy. Do you believe that? Do you believe there should be limitations on free speech in America? I think it's interesting that Elon Musk, who, by the way, is an African-American in the truest sense of the term, he's from South Africa, you've got somebody who is not even born here that standing up and defending our freedoms. And that says something to me. So here's Elon Musk explaining what Twitter should really be.
I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech where all, Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they're able to speak freely within the bounds of the law. So one of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm and make any changes to people's tweets, if they're emphasized or de-emphasized, that action should be made apparent so anyone can see that action has been taken. So there's no sort of behind-the-scenes manipulation, either algorithmically or manually.
All right, there you go, Elon Musk. And I appreciate and respect this man. Look, I really hope he follows through. And again, he goes on to say, and we're not going to play this audio, but he goes on to say that he's got a plan B. So if he cannot buy Twitter, he'll consider doing something else. But I just sincerely believe that we're all grown-ups here. We can all get on Twitter. We can have our say. And the country is not going to implode. What say you? 844-747-8868. Our website, by the way, toddstearns.com. We have a crazy video. Joe Biden was giving a speech yesterday. Biden finishes the speech and he turns, and we have all of, you've got to watch this video. Joe Biden turns and Grace Baker, he's shaking someone's hand, but there's no one there.
It's his imaginary friend.
What is he doing?
You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend, but, you know, he's not exactly a kid anymore.
Well, he may be in his brain. I mean, it's sad. I mean,
you start the world in diapers, you end the world in diapers. This is just the way it goes.
Well, it depends. Oh. But I'm just saying, we've got the video of the guy just shaking. He's shaking thin air.
I wonder what the name of his imaginary friend is. Maybe it's Big Mama, Joey. You know, mine was Quattro.
Wait, what? Mexican? No. You had a Mexican friend?
Yep.
All right. Want to talk about that?
I was like five.
Well, you know, Caleb Park, who's our managing editor, he wanted to be a horse, or he thought he was a horse.
I thought I was
up.
A dog. We all go through that phase.
He's a Lou. So let's just hope Biden doesn't think he's a dog.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Lift a leg and pee on the podium.
Me and Caleb growing up, you know, I would pretend to be a dog, he would pretend to be a horse, but our parents didn't go, hey, Caleb thinks he's a horse, so where can I identify him as a horse?
Yeah, well, and
isn't that funny? Like, now it's like a whole thing. I used to think I was a dog, like, for fun, like, you know, but my parents didn't go, oh, she's a dog.
You know, this is a fair point, because in today's society, you are what your truth says you are, so, and if you're not, then you're a hater. And so if you identify as a dog, your parents, we're thinking modern day parents, they would build a doghouse for their child and put them in the backyard with a little bowl for the water, a little bowl for the kibbles and bits, and they would let you as a dog, a self-identified canine, sleep in the backyard.
Instead, my parents just, you know, would laugh and chuckle and still call me Grace and not call me a dog like normal people.
Well, did you have a dog name?
No, I didn't go that far.
Like Fluffy?
No, I was just
Maxine.
Grace.
Okay, well, that's
you know, I'd bark, pretend to be a dog.
Yeah, I'm not judging you.
For when I was five, let's clarify. A very short period of time.
Well, anyway, we don't know who Biden was talking to, his imaginary friend, but we have the video there for you to
Big
see.
Mama.
It could have been Corn Pop.
Yep.
There you go.
Corn Pop.
Corn Pop. We finally found him.
This all makes sense now. All these people he's been talking about that I'm pretty sure are not real, he just, these are his imaginary friends.
Who are the people on Discovery TV? They're like the paranormal people.
Oh, yeah.
And they go
the,
in. Maybe
the ghost hunters.
The ghost hunters. Maybe they could analyze that video and they might pick up some, you know.
Radioactive activity there.
Heat sensory kinds of things. There may actually be the ghost of Corn Pop.
I could see it.
I don't know. All right. Hey, you know what? We're going to give away some stuff. It's Good Friday. And yes, Friday is good, but Sunday is even better. We're going to give away some cool stuff today, but you got to answer the trivia question. And we do have the first trivia question. Here we go. Oh, I love Cadbury eggs. You can buy them like by the caseload down at Kroger. We need to know, what country did the Cadbury eggs originate? Where did Cadbury eggs originate? What country? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. We need to know the country of origin for the Cadbury eggs, 844-747-8868. And folks, I'm telling you about one of my favorite things, which is Newsmax TV. If you're tired of the woke culture, then you've got to watch Newsmax. Eric Bolling, he's fighting back for you. My former colleague at Fox News, he's on Newsmax. Got a brand new show called The Balance. Eric takes on the woke media. He always tells the hard truth. And he's taken on the swamp, exposing both the Democrats and Republicans who really don't want to work for you. So watch Eric Bolling on Newsmax. Nielsen says more than 20 million Americans are watching Newsmax. You can find it on every cable channel. You can also download the free Newsmax app. I did that. I've got it on my iPhone. If you have an Android, look, they have an app for you as well. It's super easy. You can also check out and bookmark Newsmax.com for breaking news headlines. You got to do it, folks. Millions of people switching to Newsmax. Real news for real people.
Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
Wow, the phones just exploded. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Coming up, we've got some political news. Also, crime news making its return to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We'll have that in the next hour. But right now, we want to try to win somebody a prize here. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Linda on the line. Linda, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Linda, I'm doing great. Thank you very much. You know, they found the wallaby, which was missing.
Oh, excellent.
We're very happy about that here in Memphis. So I'm just glad, Linda, and I love my fellow Memphians, but we like to barbecue a lot of stuff, and I was really concerned that the wallaby might be covered in dry rub.
Oh, dear.
That would not have been good. All right, Linda, you ready to try to win a prize here?
You betcha.
All right, here we go. The question, Linda, from Denver. What country did Cadbury eggs originate?
England.
Yeah, you're right. The delicious cream-filled eggs were manufactured by the Cadbury brothers in 1923. The cream egg in its current form was introduced in 1963. Are you a big fan of the Cadbury eggs, Linda?
Not so much the eggs, but I sure do like their chocolate bars.
Oh, really? Now, I haven't had the chocolate bars.
Especially if you can get them with the almonds.
Oh, now I'm a sucker for chocolate and almond. I'll tell you that much. But what I found to be really surprising is that one of the most popular Easter candies, this is from our friends at candystore.com, it turns out that Cadbury cream eggs are the least popular Easter candy. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Unbelievable. All right, Linda, hang tight. We're going to send you a copy of our Daily Biscuit, so don't go anywhere. Grace is going to get your info. Folks, we've got more trivia questions, more opportunities for you to win some prizes. Also, what is your favorite Easter candy say about your personality? We're gonna get a little psychological on you coming up in the next hour as well. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is Good Friday across America.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord. This is going to go down about as bad as one of those marshmallow peeps. Hello, America. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2 of the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Good Friday edition. So someone just sent me a tweet that the National Republican Senatorial Committee published on Twitter. And Grace, I subscribe to this. You can actually get you can pay a couple of bucks a month, and you can actually, you can't edit your tweets, but it delays the tweet and gives you the option to redo something just in case. Because, you know, how many times have we been there on Twitter?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you press send and you realize,
oops.
Whoopsie. Yeah. So anyway, it's $2.99 a month, and it's a great service. So the National Republican Senatorial Committee just shared this tweet, and I have responded. No doubt it will cause a problem.
Uh-oh.
But I just call it like I see it here on the Todd Stearns Radio Program. We don't work off anybody's talking points. So here's what they wrote, and it's a graphic. It says Good Friday. It has a cross in a circle.
Doesn't
which
sound so
is
bad.
So good, so far so good. It's got the NRSE logo. That's fine. Would have been nice to have maybe a Bible reference or something like that, but it did not. Instead, it had these words, text WIN to 55404.
Yeah, I don't know that book of the Bible or that verse number.
So here's what they're basically saying about Good Friday. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Send us cash.
Dang.
Unless that text number is taking you to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association so you can become a Christian, this is pretty much bad form.
Oof.
Come on, Republicans, get it together.
Oof.
Get it together.
Come on.
All right. Look, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. More Easter trivia coming your way. But yesterday we told you a story that really angered a lot of you folks. It involves a VA medical center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it involves a notorious group of anti-religious people called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here at our beautiful Liberty University studios. And we're honored to have with us from the American Center for Law and Justice, Ben Cisney. Ben, good to have you with us today.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. Happy Good Friday and happy Easter to you and your team.
Well, thank you, and the same to you and the great people there at the ACLJ. This is a bizarre story, and I want you to set it up for us. There's a gift shop at the VA Medical Center, and tell us what they were selling that caused so much, or what they had in that store that caused so much controversy.
Absolutely. So this is a VA hospital, right? So let's just, at the very beginning, at the outset, let's think about the context here. This is a VA hospital. Who's there? Who does the VA hospital serve? It's veterans who are injured or sick, right? And they're at the hospital. And who else would be there but their family? Some of them going through probably tremendously hard times. And the hospital, like every hospital I'm aware of or have ever been to, has a gift store. Probably sells all kinds of things at the gift store. And that's what gift stores are, and especially at hospitals. They're tailored to people who are going through hard times, right? And would be maybe especially appreciative of products and content of religious, uplifting, spiritual nature. It's a hospital gift shop. And believe it or not, they had the nerve to have displayed in their gift shop, especially in the weeks leading up to Easter, Bibles.
I'm just shocked. Bibles, you say?
I know.
Bibles, Ben, in a VA medical center in time for Easter?
It is unbelievable, yet believable that this is even an issue or a conversation that we have to have. So the VA hospital, they've got Bibles, and it's not just Bibles. I mean, it shouldn't matter, but just for the full context, there are other Easter themed related things, what some would call maybe secular, traditional holiday style decorations and products and things like that. But then there are also Bibles, and one more quick point. You know, stores, businesses, they don't sell things that there's not a demand for, right? I mean, if they put a product on the shelf and there's not a demand, eventually the product's not going to be on the shelf, right? They have Bibles in a gift store because people buy Bibles at a gift store at a hospital. And so there's a demand for it, just like there's probably demand for a lot of other things. But the VA hospital leadership backed down. I don't know why yet. We're looking into it. But they backed down when they basically received a mean, threatening letter accusing them of violating the Constitution. And
now, let me jump in here, Ben. The group we're talking about here, we've covered these guys for years. Mikey Weinstein is the founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And he's alleging that a staff member was offended. He's alleging that seven or eight Christians actually called him personally and complained. You know, it's the same MO all the time with this guy. Anonymous complaints. And he bragged during the Obama administration that he had a red phone to the Pentagon. Whenever he called, the generals would pick up the phone. And I think that, Ben, I think we're dealing with the case of a guy who has bullied the Pentagon.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, that this happened. And you have leadership of hospitals or other various government and, you know, the case may be military offices and functions around the country. And, you know, look, a lot of these folks are overworked, understaffed, and nobody wants to get sued. Nobody wants to have to explain to a superior that we did this and we got sued. And, you get a letter like that in the mail and it's intimidating. And you use the word, bullying. I mean, it's intimidating. And that often, accomplishes the mission, the goal that they have in sending those kind of letters is just to scare people to pull those Bibles off the shelf. And in this case, it worked.
All right,
that's
real,
why they do it.
Real quick here, Ben. And by the way, Ben Cisney on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in our Liberty University studios. Ben, is it illegal? That's the million-dollar question. Is it illegal for a medical center gift shop to sell or display Bibles?
It is absolutely not illegal, and I would point your listeners to the letter that we sent to respond, that we sent to the VA as the, you know, the more detailed legal analysis of why not only is this not illegal for them to have the Bibles available, but why it's actually illegal and contrary to law and the Constitution for them to pull the Bibles and sell the other non-religious items, but specifically subject the religious content to, you know, less favorable treatment. Right, to pull that, but leave the other. But we're going to pull, you know, that's a hostility toward religion that violates the Establishment Clause. And it's actually unconstitutional to do what they did when they fell for the intimidating letter.
All right. Well, Ben, we appreciate you coming on the program today, and thanks for fighting the good fight. We will keep our eye on this one, and pay attention, folks. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation, they have declared war on anything related to Christianity in the military. And let's just hope and pray they put those Bibles back. Ben Cisney from the American Center for Law and Justice. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Thank you. You all have a good weekend. Happy Easter.
All right. Happy Easter. By the way, some breaking news to share with you. The Twitter board of directors just implemented what they call a poison pill. So now they have stopped, in effect, they have stopped Elon Musk from acquiring a larger stake, a 15% stake in the company. So this is it. Unless the shareholders who disagree step up to the plate. And here's how this is going to go. One of two ways. The shareholders can either sue the board of directors or they can vote the board of directors out. But as it now stands, and we've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com, Twitter's board of directors has adopted a poison pill in response to Elon Musk's offer to buy the company. I'm telling you, the left is horrified, terrified that Elon Musk may possibly be on the verge of buying Twitter because it is not a social media platform. This was and is the mechanism, the engine driving the radical move and march to fascism in this country by the left. That's what Twitter is. And they're shutting people down. But even more important than all of that, even more important than all of that, folks, Twitter is being used to shape the agenda of these leftist politicians on Capitol Hill. All right, look, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to your calls on this. Also, we have another trivia question to share with you. Now, I don't know about you, but I always have a hard time figuring out when Easter Sunday is, right? It's never the same Sunday. So my question, and this is a good one, Grace Baker, well done. How is Easter determined each year? How is the date of Easter determined every year? If you know the answer, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Now is your chance to enter to win one of six signed photos of President Trump. These were hand-signed by the president, and soon one could be hanging in your house. When President Trump signed these photos, he wanted to make sure all his supporters had the chance to get one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text PHOTO to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photo of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting PHOTO to 55404 right now. You'll get an exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text PHOTO to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photo. You don't want to miss this opportunity, folks. Our contest ends soon, paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
people of the planet Earth, and you folks in Wichita, great American patriots, listening to us on KQAM. We got a text message. Todd, what about us in Salem, Oregon? Yeah, okay. Well, we love all of our great affiliates, but it's whenever it's like giving, you know, I don't know, it's like having a birthday celebration. You know, you got to have a whole week's worth of fun, and that's what we're doing. And next week, we're going to be celebrating Garden City, Kansas, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And we want to thank all of you guys for doing your part to make us number 40 on the Talkers Magazine Heavy 100. And Grace, it has nothing to do with weight, so stop looking at me like that. I'm still not drinking that juice stuff. So, all right. No, I drink sweet tea. Let's go to the phones here. We have a trivia question. Grace, you're very quiet right now.
My mama always told me, if you don't got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Thank you, Grace. Appreciate that. Let's go to the lines. Randy in Louisiana. Randy, what part of Louisiana are you calling from?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans. Great town. Great town. Going to be down there later this summer doing a little vacation, Randy.
All right.
All right. Let's see if you can answer this question for us. Randy, how do they figure out when Easter's going to be?
It has to do with the 40 days of Lent following Ash Wednesday, which occurs after the first full moon of the spring equinox.
And, yeah, Randy, you're spot on accurate right there. I always just tell people, wait till Fat Tuesday and count down.
That's true. New Orleans, they get Mardi Gras and then Ash Wednesday and 40 days of Lent, and then you got Easter.
There you go. Well done, Randy. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and I hope you and your family have a blessed Good Friday and a very great celebration on Easter Sunday. And, folks, we will have some more opportunities for you to win some prizes later on in this hour of the program. Let's go to Rocco in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Rocco has a theory on the mysterious Biden handshake. All right, Rocco, I'm all ears.
I went and looked at the video, and I did a close analysis of it, and I figured out who he was shaking hands with. It was the person who invented ghost guns.
What? Rocco, that's awesome.
The person
awesome.
Was holding a ghost gun, was shaking his hand.
Wow, Rocco, that's great. You know, there may be something to that. Who knows?
It is really sad. I texted the video to my wife, and she just texted back, "This is sad."
Yeah, it really is, and it's unfortunate, Rocco, because everybody sees it. Even the Democrats do, and they just don't want to do anything about it because they know that they can control this man. And I see it nothing more than elder abuse.
I mean, I thought I heard something earlier this week. Are they actually going to let him go to Ukraine?
No,
Boris Johnson did.
No. Look, they're crazy. They're not that crazy. Little Red Lionhood, circle back, Psaki was asked about that, and she said, yeah, we're not sending him. No, we're not sending him. No, it's not going to happen.
No, that would be horrible.
Yes.
All right. You have a good Easter, Todd.
Rocco, God bless you, and God bless all of our listeners. We love you folks over there in North Georgia. Interesting story coming out of Ohio, where President Trump is going to possibly endorse a never-Trumper for the U.S. Senate. Now, this is coming from NBC News, and the author, Mark Caputo, Vaughn Hilliard. Here is the lead sentence. Former President Donald Trump plans to endorse J.D. Vance in the Ohio Senate Republican primary. They're quoting or citing three sources. J.D. Vance is the author of Hillbilly Elegy, the New York Times bestseller. He is facing off against Josh Mandel and Jane Timken. Quote, the Mandel people hit the roof. Jim Jordan is reportedly involved, and he's trying to, behind the scenes, persuade President Trump not to endorse J.D. Vance, who, by the way, is a never-Trumper who once called Trump supporters racist. The Trump campaign believes that a Trump endorsement would elevate J.D. Vance, who's trailing in the polls. I've seen multiple polls, but Vance is like at the bottom, the rock bottom of the pile when it comes to the Republicans. A most recent poll showed that even with Trump's endorsement, Vance would rise to 15% support, but was still in a three-way tie for second place, with Mandel marginally in the lead at 19%. Folks, this is the same thing is unfolding in Georgia, where for the governor's race, David Perdue did not get a bump out of that Trump rally in Commerce, Georgia. And there are concerns around the country now about who is advising the president on these endorsements. It just doesn't make any sense. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of all of this. So we've reached out to the Jordan camp, and that is significant if Jim Jordan, who has been a rock-solid supporter, and this is the problem. All of these people love the president. They support the president. They are just, everybody is confounded by this. Who is advising President Trump on these decisions? Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, I've already checked out, Grace. That's the problem. We're getting ready to do crime news, and I'm just stunned by some of the stories we're going to share.
I'm sorry, but
I got caught off guard. I heard the theme music. I'm like, oh, we've got a radio show to do. So,
yep, got a little more time there, bud.
All right, look, we've got another question for trivia, and I want to throw this out there before we go to our good friend Dr. Robert Jeffress. On average, do people go for the ears first or the tail first when eating a delicious chocolate bunny from Dinstall's Chocolates? Well, Dinstall's is actually our local chocolate shop, very famous here in Memphis, Tennessee. But by and large, do you go for the ears first or the buttocks of the bunny when eating? They actually did a survey on this. So ears first or butt first? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our beautiful Liberty University studios. Dr. Jeffress, you are not eligible to answer the trivia question.
I can just go ahead and tell you I'm so blinded by chocolate lust, I don't pay any attention, so I couldn't answer the question.
Thank you for that. Dr. Jeffress, I have to tell you, I want to brag on First Baptist Church. It is such an amazing congregation. And going back to how back in the 1990s, you know, a lot of churches were moving out to the suburbs. And, you know, we're not judging one way or the other, but a lot of churches were moving out of the inner cities. And you guys at First Baptist Dallas, you know, made a concerted effort and a decision. We're staying put, and you have really invested a lot into the downtown community in Dallas.
Well, you are a favorite guest at First Baptist Dallas, and you know we cover six blocks of downtown Dallas. And we're there really because of my predecessor, Dr. W.A. Criswell, who was pastor there for 50 years during the trend when everybody starting in the 50s, 1950s and 60s, started moving to the suburbs of Dallas. He said, no, every major city needs a downtown church. And God has blessed that commitment to remain downtown.
And I know you make a lot of headlines for, you know, some of the, you know, you weigh on a lot of the culture issues of the day, and you're unafraid to do that. And there is great respect for you all over America for doing that. But honestly, I've also seen the other side of you, which is in the pulpit as a pulpiteer and as a pastor, and that's what you do. That is your calling.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Todd, because the last 4 or 5 years, we've had every liberal publication you can imagine come to visit our church. One from Slate came 5 different times without telling us she was there, and then she did a story, and she said, you know, I came expecting a MAGA rally every Sunday, And never once did I hear the pastor talk about Donald Trump or politics. She was absolutely shocked by it. But, you know, listen to the media characterize us. We're a political church. Not at all. Our church is built on the Bible. That's what we call, that's our slogan, built on the Bible, because we think culture changes, people change, but God's word never changes. And that's our mission, to teach and preach the word of God.
Now, typically, most Americans don't go to church that often, but when they do, it's usually either Christmas or Easter time. How many services and how many people are you guys expecting there at First Baptist Dallas?
You know, this is 1 year. It's very hard to know. I'll say this. The trend is up and up every week. More and more people are coming back to church, and we're about 93% of our pre-pandemic attendance. And interestingly, we still have a large online presence. We have hundreds of thousands every week who watch us online. Our Pathway to Victory audience on TBN and other networks is double what it was 2 years ago in 2020, and it's just amazing how that continues to grow. But I do see, Todd, more people coming to church, and I hope for those who are holding back, maybe this Sunday, Easter Sunday, would be a good time to say, you know, it's time to go back.
So take us through the planning. You know, I mean, this is an opportunity for you to deliver the good news to people who may not be Christians. There are a lot of people going through some difficult times. I mean, we've seen all the surveys about depression, anxiety. What's going to be the message that you bring, and how do you come up with that message for Sunday service?
Well, the message is titled From Tragedy to Triumph. And it's coming from 1 Corinthians 15, and it's talking about, Paul is very clear about the bottom line issue in life. It's what Job asked: if a man dies, will he live again? You know, if we cut through the hazy theology and syrupy sentimentality of most Easter sermons and get to the bottom line question is this life all that there is? Or is there something else? And Paul answers that question. And we're going to talk about the democracy of death. Nobody gets out of this world alive. Everybody dies. And we're going to talk about the distress of death. It's painful. It's agonizing to lose a loved one, to go through that separation. But then we're going to talk about the defeat of death. Paul says in that passage, O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. And so that's what we're talking about Sunday, and most importantly, how you can know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. You know, not everybody is going to be raised to the same destiny. Daniel and Jesus both said some are going to be resurrected for everlasting happiness and blessing. Others are going to be raised for everlasting damnation. We all don't go to the same place, and we need to make sure we're headed in the right direction.
I cannot agree with you more, and it's a life-changing message, and it's a message the entire country needs to hear. When you look at all of the chaos in the culture, Dr. Jeffers, I get a lot of blowback. I speak at a lot of secular Republican events and political events, and I always bring it back to this idea that really the true issue here in America is really not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. Am I off base here on that?
No, you're not at all. In Romans 1, you know, Paul says, professing to be wise, they became fools. I mean, when you've got a Supreme Court nominee can't answer the question, what is a woman? When you've got the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services, Rachel Levine, a man prancing around in a dress. I mean, that is absolute foolishness. Who would have believed this 5 years ago? But when you reject the true knowledge of God, you open your mind up for every kind of foolishness.
And I'm incredibly concerned with the situation involving Disney, and not necessarily declaring war on the law, which is a big problem. I think the bigger issue is that they're openly admitting that they're adding queerness to just about everything they're doing. I mean, this is a radical agenda to indoctrinate generations of American children.
Well, it is, and it's evil. What they are doing is evil. You know, Jesus describes Satan as the liar and the father of all lies, and this is evil. But any time you depart from the Bible and its absolute truths for every generation, then who's to say what is right and what is wrong? And I agree with your assessment. The bottom line problem is a spiritual problem. It's rejecting a knowledge of God that is so clearly revealed in Scripture.
All right. Well, coming up on Saturday, April 30th, in Memphis, Tennessee, Pastor Jeffress is going to be a part of an all-star lineup. Senator Rick Scott, Senator Marsha Blackburn, former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, yours truly. We will all be speaking at the Culture Engagement Summit at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, we have decided on this program that if you want to attend listeners of this program, we're going to cover your registration costs. So you just have to go to our website, toddstearns.com, and click on the live show blog, and you'll have all the information there. Again, Saturday, April 30th, it's going to be a great event, and you're not going to want to miss Dr. Robert Jeffress. I know he's going to deliver a great message that day. Dr. Jeffress, thanks for taking time out of your very busy schedule. We look forward to joining you online for church here in the Memphis area.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. Have a blessed Easter, and I hope you figure out which way is up on that Easter bunny you're trying to eat.
I'm still trying to get over the chocolate lust comment, but all right, thanks, Dr.
Being honest. Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. That's Pastor Robert Jeffress of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He's really an amazing pastor, and if you get a chance to hear him preach, it's going to blow you away. Again, go to the live show blog. We've got the information on the Culture Engagement Summit there, including our special code, which is Spring 2022. Use that code, and you're going to get free admission to this one-day jam-packed event, and you don't want to miss it. All right, I want to go to the phones real quick. We've got a trivia question outstanding here. And let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Jonathan on WSIC. Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Jonathan, doing well, doing well. Let's try to win you a prize here. So are you a big fan of the chocolate Easter bunny?
Well, not as much as my kid.
All right. So, well, the kids, I mean, I get it. I'm a, personally, I like the Reese's peanut butter. You know, they got the Reese's peanut butter eggs now.
Those are pretty tasty.
Anyway, we want to know, according to a survey by Wallet Hub, do people go for the ears first or the tail first when eating a chocolate bunny?
I'd say the ears. Pretty tall.
Yes, you are correct there. Yes, according to Wallet Hub, 78% of Americans start eating the bunny from the ears down. And there are about 22% of you people who probably need to be in church because you're going after the butt first. So we'll put those. I think those may be Methodists, Jonathan.
I agree.
I'm kidding. All right, Jonathan. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and we're going to get all of your contact information, and we will send you a prize package. All right. Well, as promised, we have some breaking crime news to share with America.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes APB.
Dateline, Florida. A Florida man, Bunnell, Florida, about 20 miles north of Daytona Beach. A Florida man masquerading as a drug enforcement agent was able to get a discount at a Wendy's restaurant. Police say the man is charged with impersonating a police officer. Investigators say Jesse Stover, age 57, received the half-off discount for more than 2 years at Wendy's. But yesterday, when Mr. Stover sought the discount, a Wendy's manager asked to see his credentials. He flashed a badge. When the manager asked to see the badge, Stover became argumentative, and Wendy's workers called 911. And that's when they discovered the jig was up. You know, I have to tell you, Grace, it's Wendy's. I get it, I guess. I mean, if it was Chick-fil-A, I'd really get it, but Wendy's?
Yeah, I think, I don't know why. It's just like the people who steal stuff from Dollar General. I'm like, why would you, of all places, choose Dollar General? Why not at least a TJ Maxx or something?
When officers got to the restaurant, Stover denied claiming to be a cop, But they frisked the man, who was a regular at the Wendy's.
Uh-oh.
And they discovered a gold badge with the words, concealed weapon permit.
There it is.
Ah, there you go. He had to post $2,500 bond.
No more Frosties for him.
Hey, have you had, you know what's good? Take McDonald's French fries and dip those into the Wendy's Frosty.
But that requires two separate trips, and they both take forever.
Ah, there you go. All right, this is from West Virginia. It's always West Virginia or Florida. I don't get it. A West Virginia woman arrested with a large stash of meth told police she sold the drug in order to make a living. She can't find a job.
In Biden's economy, there are plenty of jobs available. People just don't want to work.
It's hard to find work. Her name is Renee Passe. She's 27 years old. She was a passenger in a car that was pulled over on traffic violations. It's always the traffic violations. You know, you got to watch that speed limit. Investigators say that Passe admitted there was meth in her backpack. A search of the backpack yielded a large baggie filled with meth and several smaller baggies. Troopers also found smoking devices, and apparently she was using some of the product. And Passe told troopers, you know, I do pretty well, make a pretty good living.
I'm sure she does.
There you go. All right. Good luck in West Virginia. And perhaps my favorite story, Grace Baker, this is from Florida, a Florida woman. Here's the headline, cat used as weapon in domestic battery.
Oof.
Police say that Susan Freudenthal, age 53, and apparently battered her girlfriend. Oh, it's a lesbian cat story.
Oh, so it's Whoa. Two women. Man, talk about a cat fight.
She kind of... Oh, what the hell was that? Jeez, a loop. Scared the living daylights out of me. All right, so Susan Freudenthaler, age 53, and her lesbian lover, the girlfriend, age 44, were arguing over fidelity issues. It's always over love.
Mm-mm-mm.
Largo, Florida. During the squabble, Freudenthal swore that she was not cheating and was faithful to the victim. At one point, the victim said Freudenthal grabbed one of the couple's pets, a cat, and held it up to the woman's face. And then began beating the woman with the can. This is terrible.
I tell you, you can. Those cats are loud. Like, I'm sorry, I've heard them outside my apartment doing their business, and it sounds like a child screaming.
Upon being arrested, a polite and compliant Freudenthal continued that she was the true victim. By the way, the arrest report lists the weapon used in the alleged battery as a feline.
Wow.
They don't say the name of the cat. That's the most important.
Dang nabbit.
What's up with that? All right.
Poor cat.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your crime news from across America.
I missed that segment.
We'll do it again next week. Another trivia question real quick. We got to go to break. Which president was the first to bring the Easter Bunny to the White House? The first president to bring the Easter Bunny to the White House. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Grand Canyon University, a Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering over 250 engaging programs online. Praised for its culture of community, students engage with faculty and connect with counselors who take a personalized approach for your success. GCU's online students received over $144 million in scholarships in 2021. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you qualify for. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University.
Sydney says the cat that was involved in the lesbian fight was Felix the cat. That was the name of the cat, Felix the cat.
Maybe it was like a love triangle.
Could have been. I don't want to go there. Not on Good Friday, Grace Baker. Go stand in the corner.
This is why I got to go to service tonight.
Stop. Tina, where's Tina? WDUN. Tina, I've lost
Hi.
Control. I've lost control of the show today.
That's okay.
All right, Tina, you ready for this now? We need to know, what's the trivia question here? Oh, the first So here we go. The first president to bring the Easter Bunny to the White House. Who was that, Tina?
It was Richard Nixon.
Yes, Tina, Richard Milhouse Nixon. His wife, Pat, introduced the White House Easter Bunny in 1969. And usually somebody on the White House staff, I heard somebody told me that Sean Spicer was an Easter Bunny back in the day. Hey, Tina, hang tight. We're going to give you a prize package. Folks, don't go anywhere. Hour three of the Todd Stearns Radio Show coming up on this Good Friday.
Advocate for those who need support and make a difference in your community. Earn a Bachelor of Social Work from Grand Canyon University. GCU is a premier private Christian university offering online social work programs with affordable tuition and personalized support. In addition, you can earn your Master of Social Work by completing the Bachelor of Social Work plus just one additional year instead of two. Find your purpose. Visit gcu.edu/socialwork to learn more.